Good morning. I was actually approached to be one of the finger models. I felt very, very privileged to be asked. I must have a beautiful finger, I suppose. But unfortunately, I couldn't make it, so they had to use other people's fingers. Can we please take up the offering? While we take up the offering, I just want to speak a little bit about the Awaken Conference. Ladies, are you excited about the Awaken Conference? Yay! We are extremely excited about the Awaken Conference. And I really want to say, and we don't often do this, but if you are a lady, you have to be there. Not because we want you to have fun. I promise you it's way too much hard work to organize this thing just for the sake of fun. We would never do it if it was just for fun. It is an incredible effort that we have to put in. But because the legacy of the Awaken Conference is that we experience God, we feel God. And I'm not just saying this, I speak from experience. And I want to challenge you, if you haven't been there, go to any lady who's been there and ask her, did you feel God? And they will most probably tell you, yes, I did. And what happens to us when we feel God? We are being changed completely and absolutely. So ladies, the Awaken Conference in Stellenbosch is going to be the 1st and the 2nd and the 3rd of May. And if you are not going to be here at that time, you can go to the Johannesburg Conference, which is going to be 15, 16, and 17 May. And if you are not there and you are actually going to be in Namibia, then you can go to the Swakopmund Conference, which is going to be 23 and 24 May. And there is a very wonderful, fantastic early bird special. It's 190 rand, and it is 100 rand less than the full price. And you can register today. So after church, if you go out, there's a beautiful table outside, and you can register right then and there. And if you cannot register today, please go online and you can register. And there are some business cards there. It looks like a business card, some beautiful white cards that you can take and you can give to another lady to invite her. And I really want to encourage you to do that as well. So if there's any lady here, which there are many of, do not leave church today if you did not stop at that table. I also want to encourage you to invite other women, because if you ever wanted to invite somebody to something, this is the best opportunity, even if they do not want to have anything to do with God, because the beauty of it will bowl them over already, just the way that it is. So please take a card there. If you need to take more than one, ask the ladies how many you may take and go and invite them now already. I think it is about 8 weeks to go. And we need to have as many women there as possible. Fill that venue to capacity. Amen? Thank you. I want to invite Celeste to the front. She's just going to tell us a little bit about her experience at Awaken. And while she comes, I just want to say, and I just want to really clarify this, this is not about our conference or even about the name Awaken. It really is not. It is just the opportunity that we want to create for women to meet with God. Those who already know Him, those who do not know Him yet. Those who need healing and deliverance and restoration. Those who just want to come and experience the presence of God. So, Celeste, you can come. Thank you.
Thanks, Christelle. Good morning. When I think of Awaken, it's amazing. This year's theme is a beautiful story. And just thinking about that whole concept, I just see the writing that story, obviously you need a pen, you need ink. And the last couple of years, it's now the fifth Awaken, I've experienced how God has come to fill that pen with His love and writing that story in my life and in writing in other women's lives. And if I think of Awaken over these last couple of years, it feels like the Lord has blessed me each year with like a bracelet around my arm of remembering what happened each year. And I just quickly want to share something that didn't happen in 1 year, but over 4 years. At the first awaken, the ladies would know we are all very excited because we receive a bookmark and somebody prayed for you beforehand and trusted the Lord for a word, and then they would print it on a beautiful bookmark and you would receive it. And all of them are in my Bible. And I remember my first one, somebody wrote the words or that scripture, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And it was beautiful. I was very excited. I remember it was that season in my life was very exciting. And the next year, I was going through a bit of a tough time and feeling a bit vulnerable. And I remember in one of the free worship moments, we started singing that song. And I remembered back to the time I received that bookmark stating those words. The year after that, 2013, another woman came up to me and she just said she has a word for me. And again, it was, "Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good." And last year, I had the privilege of serving and helping a bit with the preparation. So we would be very busy and then you would go to a session and then you would prep again and you would go to a session. So at the end of Awaken, I was very excited, but I was feeling a bit tired. And I remember everything was packed away, everything was set up, and a few of us were still hanging around because we didn't want to go because that would mean Awaken is finished. So we were just hanging around the venue and I heard a few of my friends praying in one of the areas, and I just thought, I'm just going to go sit in and pray with them. And in the end, they started praying for me, and I remember the Lord was just there, and he was just ministering to my heart, and they decided they just want to wash my feet, and they went to get water, and they started washing my feet, and it was so beautiful, and the girl just started praying, and she just said, "Celeste, the Lord is telling you, taste and see that he is good." And yeah, so that just meant something so special to me. Every year, the Lord knew, and it meant different things for me in those times, but he knew. He had to remind me that he's so good. And he used just this simple conference, well, not a simple, but I'm meaning something so you wouldn't even think about it, just that simple truth of showing who he is. So I really want to invite all of you to come and share in this year's Awaken. Trust the Lord to hear what's on his heart and his story, and come and share in the stories that we are sharing with each other as well. Great, thanks.
Okay, so the theme is going to be beautiful story. And yes, we are really looking forward to that. Let's pray. Oh God, it is so good to be in your presence, Lord. God, it is so good to be in your house. Thank you for the tremendous privilege, Lord. God, thank you that we never need to fear. We never need to feel insecure. We never need to doubt. Because you are always, always with us. You said you will never leave us, Lord. God, thank you for that. Father, today, may we glorify you. May we hear your voice and may we act on it. In the name of Jesus, amen. The title of the sermon this morning is Confidently Christian with a question mark. The other evening, I went to fill up the car because otherwise it would I would stand without petrol, which happens to me quite a bit. So I went to fill it up and I didn't realize that the whole of Stellenbosch went because the petrol price went up that night. So I was in a very long queue. And as I was waiting in the queue, there was a bucky in front of me. And in the bucky were three, there was a man in the front, which I assume was the father of three little girls in the back of the bucky with a canopy. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And the three little girls had very little clothes on and it wasn't that warm. And they really seemed neglected. And they were there in the back of the bucky with no blankets or mattresses or anything. And then we were standing in the queue. The queue was so long that we just switched our cars off. So the man just got up and left, and I don't know where he went, and he just left these three little girls. And then they were playing in the back of the bucky, and they were playing with the door of the canopy, and then one of them had her little fingers in the way, and the other one closed the door on her. I'm so sorry. On her little fingers. And she just had so much pain, and she cried so much, and there was just nobody to comfort her. And the other little girl, like children do, which was very familiar to me, said, "Hoekom het jy jou vingers daar gesit?" You know, she was just not helping at all. And this little girl was just holding on to her hands. And then eventually the dad came. And you know, why do you have three little girls in the back of a buggy that time at night? And my heart broke. My heart just broke to the point where I just had to go back to God, because that is just a small little picture of, please forgive me, this emotion was not planned. Just a little representation of what is happening in our country, with so much poverty and so much suffering. And I went to God that night. I couldn't sleep, and I said, "God, why don't you see, and why don't you hear, and why don't you do anything about it? And why do we see so much in our country that is wrong? God, where are you? Why do you ignore us?" And I was really so desperate just to hear something from God. And God led me to the book of Habakkuk. And I want to preach from Habakkuk this morning. And I want to read what Habakkuk said to God, just as a little bit of background. Habakkuk was a prophet in a time in Israel when there was a wicked king that ruled, very selfish and not really at all caring for the people that he ruled. And there was lawlessness and corruption and abuse. I think it sounds familiar to all of us. And it was not safe to walk in the streets alone or at night. There was a lot of violence. And Habakkuk went to God. And I want to read from Habakkuk 1, verse 1 to 4. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounds the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds." It is such a comfort to see what concerns us is in the Word of God. That means that He is aware of our concerns. And as I speak to us this morning, when I was preparing for this message, I was wondering whether we are ready to hear a message that is completely and absolutely not about us, but about our country. I wonder how many of us are really ready to hear this. And I wonder how many of us are really concerned about our country and our continent. I had a conversation with Jankor the other day at the office, and I said to him, God blessed me with compassion and mercy as a gifting. Who of you think that you have that gifting? Who of you know or think that you have the gifting of mercy and compassion? Can you put your hands high up? So all the hands that are up, it is a very hard thing to walk with. And I'm sure you will agree with me, because wherever people like us go, we only see the pain and we have to deal with it 24/7. And that's why we really desperately need God. And not all of us have that gifting. And I spoke to Jankor and I said to him, "I cannot go through one day not feeling the pain of the people in our country that are suffering." And he looked at me quite a little bit funny. And he said, "No, I don't suffer from that. But what really bothers me is the disorder. It unsettles me deeply, the disorder." And then I was thinking about Wynand and them with their law practice, fighting pornography, fighting issues that are bringing corruption and lawlessness and violence into this country. And I realized that God has given all of us something that we see that is not right. and it should be like that. And I want to say that if we are here this morning and not at all concerned about anything in the country, but only concerned about our own problems, we should go back to God and ask Him to give us His heart. Because He has a heart for the country. He has a heart for nations and generations. And it is only by the grace of God that we can understand that. I do, however, believe that the book of Habakkuk can teach us principles that will be as relevant to our individual lives as it will be to our country and to our continent. I want to read from Esther 4, verse 14, a very well-known scripture. You know, there are some scriptures that people love to quote, and they quote it in sort of any situation that they can remotely fit it in. This is one of those scriptures, Esther 4, verse 14. For if you remain completely silent, this is Esther's uncle speaking to her and telling her, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Most of us have heard this phrase, for such a time as this, but I do want to speak about it again. Because I believe with all of my heart that God decides who He is going to pick for which generation. And I really believe, I have this battle with God. I say to Him, God, why did You not create me in the time before technology? I really think that was a mistake to create me in this time where I need to be technically good to make anything happen. But the thing is, God decided that you and I will be alive for such a time as this. And we should make good use of it. Because it is a very challenging time. And sometimes I thank God that He trusted us enough to create us for these times. Extremely challenging times. We should consider it a blessing. Some generations go through life much easier, I think, than what we are having at the moment. Went through life much easier than what we are having at the moment. And we should be aware of what is going on. We should be very aware because God wants to use us. And I want to speak just about some principles from the book of Habakkuk, which should help us to know and understand how we should act at a time such as this. And the first thing that I want to say, and I opened with those scriptures, is that Habakkuk dared to ask God direct questions. To ask why to God is not a sign of unbelief, it is a sign of faith. Can I say that again? You know, I grew up in a church where they told us, you never question God. That is impossible. I mean, who of you have never questioned God? That is just, we are not robots. We are human beings. We need to question God. He actually is brave enough for our questions. He can handle our questions. Go and look at David. God, why do you hate me? We are not just allowed to question God. We are supposed to question God. Because God wants relationship with us. My children question me 24/7. At the end of every day, I tell them, keep quiet, bly stil, gaan weg, leave me alone. But it is a sign of relationship. It is a sign of faith. It is a sign of trust. And I really believe with all of my heart that God is standing here this morning saying, why don't you question me about the state that your country is in? Why are you not questioning me? Why do you see what you see? Neglected little children, poverty beyond description, violence, why do you see it and why do you not speak to me about it? Or do you not care at all? Because if you care, If I care, we will approach God. And Habakkuk says to God, God, why do you show me? In other words, God opened his eyes. There are people going through this world who sees nothing apart from their own salary and their own friends and their own family and their own comfort. They don't give two hoots. Let us not be ever accused of that. Then we will not be good Christians. Habakkuk says, God, why do you show me? And this is the thing. We need to be brave enough to say, okay, God, show me. If you are Yankor, you will see the disorder. If you are Wynand, you will see the pornography. If you are me, you will see the poverty. Who are you and what do you see? And what do we do with what we see? The first thing that we do is we run to God. Why? Because he is in control and he can handle it. Habakkuk went to God and he said, God, will you not answer me today? Violence, I cry out, violence, where are you? You know that song from long ago from Beth, somebody, Midler, I think, From a Distance. It says, God watches us. There's another song that says, what if God was one of us? I always, when that song plays on the radio, I always listen to it because I think that is what the world says. Those who do not know his love, they say, what if he was one of us and he just suffered like us? Perhaps he would do something. Yeah, that is what the world says. And this is what Habakkuk was saying. Habakkuk was saying, God, you are watching from a distance. What if you were one of us? I'm paraphrasing. He was challenging God, and lo and behold, God answered him. And the answer that God gave to Habakkuk was the worst answer that God could ever give. Let me read it to you. God says, yes, I do see the wickedness of Israel, I do see the lawlessness, and I do see the corruption. And I'm going to do something that you will not believe. And Habakkuk says, and what is that? God says, I'm going to send the Babylonians. That is like saying I'm going to send ISIS. I can make that comparison. And they are going to utterly destroy you. What do you think about that answer? Let's read it. Habakkuk 1, verse 6, 7, and 9. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, and they were from Babylonia, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Listen to this. They are terrible. This is God. That says this. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. They all fall violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. Habakkuk is so shocked. He says, God, how can you do that? What about the righteous people? He says, God, your eyes, go and read the book of Habakkuk. He says, your eyes are too pure to behold evil. Why are you going to do this thing? I want to speak about this. Because we always love to speak about the aspects of God that we understand, and we never like to speak about the aspects of God that we do not understand. None of us here understand God completely. He's too great for our understanding. The Word of God says, now you are looking in a mirror that is blurred. One day you will see clearly. I want to say that sometimes we cry out to God and things get worse. Is there anybody here who has experienced that? Can you please be honest this morning? Okay, about half of us. Sometimes we cry out to God and things get worse. That is a massive problem to our faith. But there's something that we must understand from the book of Habakkuk. God will not always change the circumstances. Why? I really do not know. I wish I knew. Everybody would come to listen to the sermon if I knew that. But this we do know. God holds time in his hands. God sees from the first generation to the last generation. God sees eternity. God understands the galaxies that he created. The word of God says, what is man that you even give any attention to us? You can wipe us with, God can say, oorknip, and we can be wiped. Sometimes the circumstances may not change, and let me dare to say, often the circumstances may not change, and we live in a time, and go and study the end times. I haven't done it. I wish I can start doing that to have a better understanding of all of that. But sometimes we need to understand and see and recognize the seasons that we live in. Mac was mentioning the SMSs and stuff that are going around at the moment regarding ISIS. Things are happening in the world, and we need to be prepared. We need to be awake, and we need to pray, and we need to start thinking about these things. Have you ever gone so far as to think, what if it was your child that they are going to be hid if you do not deny Christ? Or do you only care about your day job and your TV programs? Forgive me. Do we ever stop to think, what will I do if ISIS is at my... And I'm not trying to scare us. Please, people, the purpose of this message is to bring faith and hope. And I pray that at the end of this message, we will have that. But we cannot be the sleeping giant anymore. The church, we need to be awake. We need to understand. We need to be prepared. I've shared this many times, but... When my first child was born, almost 12 years ago, I held this baby in my arms, and I was completely and absolutely overwhelmed with love for this child, like every mother here will probably understand. And I said, God, how do I raise this child? And God said to me, you raise her to be able to stand when 1,000 fall to her left and 10,000 to her right. She should be able to stand because hard times are coming. Are we prepared? Because the world is moving at a very fast pace towards times where we will need a lot of courage. And I know I say this often, but allow me to say it again. So what does God say to Habakkuk? He says, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And Habakkuk is appalled by this answer that God gives. But listen then. God says in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This is one of the most well-known scriptures from the Word of God. But I think few of us know exactly what it referred to here in Habakkuk, where it was used for the first time. What God was saying to Habakkuk here, if we look at history, God said to him, there will be a remnant, there will be a small group of people in Israel, in Judah, and when Babylonia comes and they utterly destroy every baby and every woman and every man and every chicken and every sheep and every livestock and every vineyard, because that's what they used to do. They were relentless and cruel. And when they come to do that, there will be a small remnant of people, the faithful, who shall be saved physically. They will be saved. I will save them. You know that word faith, if you go and study it in the old Hebrew and Greek, it actually refers to faithfulness. Those who continue to be faithful. I think our greatest challenge in this generation, right now, today, in this time that we live in, is to remain faithful. Because we have every reason in commas to doubt. And the sad thing is, God says Babylonia will come, the Chaldeans will come, and they will utterly destroy. And there will be people who had faith, but they lost it. They were not faithful to the end. They did not endure to the end. They will also be destroyed. But those who hold on, they will be saved. That means through cancer, through divorce, through bankruptcy, through whatever it may be that you and I are facing, I keep on being faithful unto God. Against all odds, with no obvious reason whatsoever, when my family and friends tell me, really, do you still believe? That is why we need courage. That is why we need to be brave. Because that is the measure of faithfulness that we will need. And sometimes being faithful, actually I want to say always being faithful, does not refer to performing well. It refers to the condition of our hearts. I remember when I started having babies, almost 12 years ago, I started having babies, and I just always had a baby. I was either breastfeeding or pregnant, and I just had all these babies. And in 7 years' time, I had five of them, and before then, I had two miscarriages. So I was just pregnant for a very long time. And I was exhausted. There's a whole chunk of my life in which I was just always so tired, and I felt so overwhelmed with all these babies, and I worked, and there was so much that had to be done, and I could never manage to have a quiet time. I could not. I would sit with that Bible in the morning. It would be the funniest thing ever, I think, if anybody could record that, because I would wake up drooling on the Word of God. But this is what I did. I had a little Bible that I kept in the bathroom, in the loo, in the toilet, high up where the kids couldn't get hold of it. Otherwise, it would land in the toilet. And whenever I had to run to the bathroom, I would grab the Bible and read. I would read something. And whenever I had a chance, I would run into a small room or I would just sit with all the kids all over me and I would pray out loud. And then often I had to preach. And then I would not really sleep much at all until about 4 o'clock. And then I would get up to prepare the sermon, which is happening at 9 o'clock. And in between, I would breastfeed and change nappies. And then I would arrive at church looking, really not looking like the person who's going to preach at all. Hair not properly combed, clothes not really appropriate, just completely exhausted. And then I would bring a word. And then I cannot tell you how many people would come and say, that was the word from God for me. Thank you so much. Why? Not because I could do it. Because my heart was always faithful to God. That is why I would use even going to the loo to cry out to God, to read the Word. And I want to say this morning, so many of us are condemned because of our performance. And God is saying, just please, I see your heart. And sometimes God will, I know, I speak from experience. I'm sure some of us here have experienced it. Sometimes God will allow us to make mistakes. He will cause us to fail. He will cause us to make mistakes for us to learn that it is not about performance. It is about our hearts. Because when we fail and we are still loved and still accepted and still celebrated like we do with our children, then we understand grace a little bit more. And God says, I'm not looking for a generation who can perform well, because it will bring us nowhere when courage is needed, when faithfulness and the just shall live by faith is needed. He wants hearts. hearts who are ready and willing to be made brave by God, willing to do something while we are trembling and while our lip is quivering. We see here in Habakkuk, go and read it, God speaks to him and he says, my lip is quivering. That is what God wants. You know, we have our littlest boy, Caleb. You might have seen him. He's got little glasses. He's 4 years old. And he's got quite a strong will, quite a challenge to raise. And he doesn't enjoy discipline. Nobody enjoys discipline, but he really doesn't enjoy discipline at all. He rejects discipline. He really rejects discipline. So the other day, Caleb was sitting to eat his breakfast. It was just me and him. And I am 40 and he's 4. So Caleb says he wants some porridge and I put it in for him. And he says, I didn't want the blue plate, I wanted the green plate. So now I'm thinking I can either force him to take the blue plate, which I usually do, but I don't have strength to fight with him now because it's phenomenal when it starts. I'm just going to take the green plate. So I said, okay, Caleb, that's fine. I put it over into the green plate. I give him the green plate. I put the butter in. I put the honey, pour the honey over. He goes, I didn't want butter in my porridge. I go, but you always have butter in your porridge. He says, yes, but I wanted milk. I say, okay, but now there's already butter in. He says, I don't want this porridge. I want another bowl of porridge. So I go, this is where I draw the line. So I go, no, Caleb, you will eat that porridge or you will be hungry. Up to you. Choose. So he looks at me like this for a very long time over his glasses. And his one eye is turning in completely. So he looks at me like that over his glasses. And he does this. He says, do you want me to become angry with you? And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, Caleb, I have no words. You know, and God showed me something there. God says, sometimes you stand there and you point to me like this and you say something and I'm thinking, man, I'm 40 and you are 4. I've got all the power. I've got all the say. I make all the decisions. I am the only authority here. So just, you know, I'll just love you because that's all that will help now because you have no clue. So I go to Caleb and I just love him because he really thinks that he can, you know, he really thinks that he has the power. Such a deception. And there's something that God, that we must understand. God is God. We can become angry, we can become frustrated, we can ask many questions which we should and we may. But the fact is God is God. He's not going to change his mind for one of us, unless we are in unity with his mind. Moses says, Abraham says, God, will you save Sodom and Gomorrah if you can only find 20 pure, faithful people? If you can only find 10, if you can only find 5? And God says, sure, I will. We can change the mind of God if we are in line with his great mind. Let's get back to Habakkuk. God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I'm going to deal with this problem in a way that you are not going to understand, that you are not going to relate to, and that will not make sense to you. But the just shall live by faith. If you can continue to be faithful, you shall indeed be saved and all those who are with you. And then we see the last chapter of Habakkuk. And the clever people say that the last chapter of Habakkuk, who was, by the way, set to music, is so different from the first two chapters that some people think it was added, which it wasn't, because they cannot comprehend that one man could change like that. We look at the last chapter of Habakkuk, and I wish we could read the whole book this morning, but we cannot. I'm sorry. Before we get to the last chapter, there's another scripture that I want to read from Habakkuk 2, verse 12, where Habakkuk speaks and prophesies to Babylonia and the Chaldeans who are coming to destroy them. And he says, "Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed and establishes a city by iniquity." We see that Habakkuk questions God. God gives him a very unsatisfying, unpleasant answer. And Habakkuk then prophesies from the Spirit of God to these very people that God says he is sending. And he says, "Woe to you." You know, whenever there is a woe in the Bible, it is a curse. You never want to be woed by God. What does this speak of? It speaks of the fact that God says, yes, the enemy will come and they will destroy, and it is actually in my knowledge. I know very well that they are coming. I know it so well. I am warning you that they are coming. But they will be accountable for the bloodshed. I woe them. I curse them. When we look at the agents of destruction in our lives, we should understand, as we all know by now, most of us, vengeance belongs to God. That is what Mac was speaking about this morning. Don't fear the Muslims. Pray for them. Because God will deal with them. God will deal with our enemies, whether it is cancer, whether it is depression, whether it is grief, whether it is financial pain, whether it is rejection, whether it is poverty, God will deal with the agents of destruction in our lives. Let it be unto us to find our joy and our peace in God and in God alone. Leave the demons, unless there is a time and a place where we need to pray for people for deliverance. But let's not give that much attention. Because God says, I will curse them. And then let's get to the last chapter that I was speaking about that was set to music. Once again, very well-known scripture. Habakkuk 3 verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. One of my children thought it was high heels. It's not high heels, it's mountains. Habakkuk did not have high heels. What happened here? What happened to Habakkuk? What happened to a man depressed and hopeless, running to God for answers, getting the worst answer possible, and then getting to this place? What happened? Do you know transformation is at the heart of the gospel? Whenever God does anything in the world, he changes the hearts of people, and he does it through people. Nothing has changed. You know, when Habakkuk says, though the fig tree may not blossom and there be no cattle in the fields, we often tend to think, though I may not have enough money for luxuries. Though I may not have that, whatever it is that I wanted, though I may not be entirely healthy, though I may not have the job that I think I need. This is what we in our Western mindset think. Most of us that are represented here. But he was referring to the fact that the Chaldeans will come and utterly, utterly destroy everything. Habakkuk is referring to the fact that utter destruction is on its way. The circumstances did not change at all. What changed? The man, the perception, the eyesight changed completely, completely. And Habakkuk stands there and he says, oh God, even though everything is the way that it is, and even though hard things are coming, I will rejoice in you. I will trust in you. You are enough for me. You satisfy me. I will laugh, I will dance, I will rejoice because you satisfy me. It comes from a very deep place of understanding the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. And this morning, I really believe that God wants to change our perception. You know, when we become overwhelmed by our personal circumstances, when we become overwhelmed with the circumstances in our country, with parliament and all kinds of threats, things that are happening in our leadership of our country, then we need to run to God and we must say, God, give us your perception. Give us your way of seeing this. Because our strength is not in our circumstances. It is in God. You know, there's not a week that goes by where I don't say, God, if you take away the house like Job, if you take away the car, if you take away the husband, if you take away the children, will I still love you? Will I still love you? That is my wrestle with God at the moment. I'm not sure whether I will, but I want to. I'm honestly not sure whether I will rejoice if I lose all of that. But I want to. There's that old hymn that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The man that wrote that song did it directly after he lost his wife and his all his children. I'm not sure about his wife. I think he lost his children, all of them. He wrote that song directly after he heard that he lost his children. They drowned at sea. It is well with my soul. We must understand there is a whole eternity in front of us. This is temporary. We need to do this well. We need to get this right. We need to be prepared. Can we stand this morning? I want to extend an invitation this morning. And I really want to trust that those of us who need prayer will be bold enough to come for prayer. And the invitation is that if you need your perception to change this morning regarding your own circumstances, regarding the circumstances in your family, regarding the circumstances in South Africa, in Africa, in the world, whatever it may be, if you need your perception to change, and that could be any of us, that could be the best of us, won't you come to the front? The Word of God says we must pray for each other. We must carry each other's burdens and pray for each other so that we may be healed. So if that is you, won't you quickly come to the front and we are going to pray over you. I just want to ask the ministry facilitators to please come as well. If you are a ministry facilitator and you need prayer, then just first receive the prayer. I'm sure we are enough here. Is that everybody? Anybody else? I want to ask, while the ministry facilitators, who I don't really see yet, are they coming? Where are they? I want to ask all the small group leaders, can please also come and pray. Doesn't matter, we'll do what we will do with the people that we have. I want to ask that while we pray over these people here in the front, I want to ask that those of us who did not come to the front, will you be kind enough and open to turn to each other in pairs or groups of three, even groups of four will be fine. And let's just pray for our country. Pray that God will give us the right perception. That God will give us His way of seeing South Africa. And pray that God will use us, because He handpicked every one of us for this generation. Pray over each other that God will use you and me to do what we need to do at such a time as this. If you can start doing that, then please don't leave. I'm going to give 5 minutes for that, and then we are going to just worship together. I really request that we don't leave unless it's urgent, because we need to worship God together before we go. So please pray together. And for these ones in the front, I want you to just share with the ministry facilitator where it is that your eyesight needs to change, and let them just pray and agree with you that you will see differently, that your perception will change.